So today we're going to wrap up our series going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're calling it Remember Your Creator. So how many of you have ever walked into a room and then forgot why you walked in that room? Way too many people in this service have done that. How many of you have started a sentence and then you got halfway through and it's like, what was I going to say? How was I going to finish the sentence? Yeah, I've done that. How many of you have ever misplaced your wallet or your keys or your phone? How many of you have ever done that? Man, I used to judge people so harshly when they've misplaced their wallet. I'm like, how can you misplace your wallet or how can you lose your keys? I mean, just put it back where it belongs. Well, just this past week, I couldn't find my wallet. And I went to get it right where I placed it on our one desk, and it wasn't there. And I'm like, did we get robbed? Maybe we got robbed. Then thankfully, Kelly texted me and said, hey, you left your wallet in my car, and I just put it in your car. And so now I'd have to stop judging other people for that. But in some ways, forgetfulness sneaks up on us. And so when we think about the word remember our Creator, it's not just to simply try to think about God just a little bit more. Try to think about him every once in a while. To remember, you'll find this word all throughout Scripture. To remember is so much more than that. It goes beyond just, I'm trying to recall who he is or what he's done. But it's about living in constant awareness of the presence of God and allowing his presence to shape every area of our lives. And so in a few weeks, Kelly and I, we celebrate our 27-year wedding anniversary. Yeah, I appreciate that. But that's not why I was telling you. But when we celebrate that on September 20th, it's not like we're going to look at each other and say, oh, that's right, we're married. So glad we had this day to remind us. No, we live every day. We live out that commitment to each other. We don't need a wedding anniversary date to remind us that we're married. And it's the very same way in our relationship with God. We remember who he is, and it shapes us, that awareness of who he is, it shapes us. And so the book of Ecclesiastes, I hope it's been challenging you and encouraging you, but it really highlights the reality of the meaninglessness of life, how meaningless life is without a relationship with God. And so it's this challenge, this reminder to remember your Creator. You were created for a relationship with him. You were created to follow his instructions and to do good works. And so today we just want to reaffirm that idea, you know, this call to remember our Creator. And to do that, we're going to look at the very last chapter of the book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Spend our time there today. Let me read it. Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 1. Solomon writes, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. So why remember your Creator? Remember your Creator because the older we get, the more we forget. I read recently something that Bono, the lead singer of U2, wrote about Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm not suggesting you should build all your theology on what Bono says, but he wrote this Summary of Ecclesiastes. I guess this is one of his favorite books, if not his favorite. He wrote this. He said, it's a book about a character who wants to find out why he's alive, why he was created. He tried knowledge. He tried wealth. He tried experience, he tried everything. And so you hurry to the end of the book to find out why. And it says, remember your Creator. In a way, it's such a letdown, and yet it isn't. That's what he wrote. I think there's a lot of truth in there. So Solomon starts out by just saying, in your youth, when you feel like you're invincible, don't forget your Creator. And then he lays out this, what I would call one of the most beautiful, poetic, creative, and also sobering realities of what it is to age, the aging process. It's this picture of aging. Let's read in verse 2. And you got to use your imagination. But he continues. He says, "Remember him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caper berry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your creator now while you are young. Before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And that's how the book of Ecclesiastes ends. Sobering words. But it is the picture of aging. And I think it's good that we don't ignore the reality of aging in this world, living on this earth. I came across an old song by Pete Seeger. Anybody hear of him? And I thought this was very appropriate. We got some Pete Seeger fans. But I think this was written maybe in the 60s, and maybe you've heard this song. It goes like this. I'm not gonna sing it, but I'll give you the lyrics. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has gone up and went. Old age is golden, I think I've heard said, but sometimes I wonder as I crawl into bed. My ears in a drawer, my teeth in a cup, my eyes on the table until I wake up. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, open the paper and read the obits. How many read the obituary? That's one of the first things you read in the news. Yeah, you know you're getting older when that happens. I'm not judging, I read them sometimes too. If I'm not there, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. Pete Seeger. Again, pointing out the reality of what aging is, because there's real excitement when you're in the youth, the stage of life, when you feel invincible, when you think about what life could be, your hopes and dreams, who you're gonna marry, where you're going to live, what kind of career path you're going to take, what is life going to look like? And so Solomon says, when you're in that time, whatever you consider young, when you're in that time, don't forget your Creator. And he uses this word before. In some ways, it's remember your Creator is an encouragement and a warning. Solomon urges us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth before the difficult days come, before the aging process begins, before bitterness has the opportunity to set in, before life's opportunities start to fade, before you may feel like you're being left behind. Remember your Creator now. And so I think a good question to wrestle with today is, are you living now with an awareness of God and how he can shape your life? Or are you waiting until life slows down to focus on what matters most? Don't wait. So I'm going to give you 5 reasons to remember your Creator. My encouragement to you today is to choose one, at least. Choose one to reflect on and implement this coming week. So 5 reasons why we should remember our Creator. Number one, I encourage you to write this down, to guide life decisions. Remember your Creator as you're charting the course of your life. To make wise decisions before you make bad decisions that can become regrets. How do we do that? Well, Solomon points, did you catch that? He said, words of wisdom are like a cattle prod, a stick that a shepherd would use. It has a point on the end, and it's called a goad, right? It would goad these stubborn sheep or cows. And Solomon says, friends, we need a cattle prod. We need something to goad us when we get off path. And it's these words of wisdom. Because we all have this reality, this temptation, maybe this human tendency for stubbornness. I think we all do. I think we all wrestle with stubbornness. And if you hear that and say, well, I don't, you might be the most stubborn of all. What are some examples of stubbornness? Stubbornness, resisting change, refusing to admit mistakes, ignoring advice, holding grudges, being reluctant to try new things. You get caught in any of those. You know, how do we get out of that? Solomon said, there's words of wisdom that can prod you or be like a goad. Remember when in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, he was this religious leader. He was going around getting Christians arrested, looking for followers of Jesus to get them thrown in prison. He was wanting them to be eliminated, so he was persecuting them. And while he was on this mission, in the name of religion, he's heading to Damascus. On the road to Damascus, Jesus shows up, bright light. He falls to the ground, and he hears these words from Jesus. Jesus said, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then he says this phrase, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Something was pricking Paul on the inside, even while he was persecuting Christians. In the same way, wisdom can have that impact on us. So we must keep our heart in a humble place. Remember your Creator as you're charting the course of your life to make these life decisions. That prodding comes from the Good Shepherd. And that brings us to number 2. Reason to remember your Creator. Number 2, to live a Christ-centered life. Remember your Creator is this call to live a Christ-centered life because Jesus is the Creator God. Before he became flesh and blood, he was called the Word of God. So he was there at creation. God spoke. The Word of God, excuse me, the Word of God brought things into being. Powerful. But if you say, well, I don't quite understand that. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And Paul writes it this way. He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Is he first in everything in your life? Because he is first in everything. Everything's been created through him. What would Christ-centered living look like to you? You know, we do baby dedication. We always have a reception on Saturday mornings, and Kelly and I get to be there and interact with the families, and we just share for a few minutes. And baby dedication really is built on this passage in Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, children are a gift, a reward from the Lord. They're given to parents, and I always remind, God gave you your children because he knew you could handle it. And then verse 4 says, children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. I just love that word picture so much. Because a warrior has the responsibility and the opportunity to choose a target for where these arrows should be sent toward. And so parents, I encourage you, choose your target for your children. Don't let it just happen by chance. Don't let life just get busy without choosing what direction do you want to send your children. And what if you would choose the target of Christ-centered living? What if all of us, every single independent adult, we would choose that target? What would it be to build your life to be Christ-centered in everything? Living a life centered on Christ who holds everything together at home, at work, in relationships, at school, in everything that you do, be Christ-centered. It'll shape your life. That brings me to reason number 3 to remember your Creator. To fear God and keep his commands. He said, Solomon said, that's the conclusion of everything. Remembering your Creator actually gives you the responsibility. It's really not an option to fear God and keep his commands. What does it mean to fear God? It means to honor him, to revere him, to worship him because he is holy. To honor him in times of adversity and prosperity. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom, and it's also the path to peace and joy. And it's the way we align our lives with his commandments. It starts with fearing God. I love what Oswald Chambers said about the fear of God. He wrote, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear him, you fear nothing else. But if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So if we fear God, we must obey his commandments. Obedience then is not optional. But obedience is actually a trait of what it means to live Christ-centered. And so let's take these 3 points and put them together. How does this apply to our lives? Okay, so I look at, if we all have some level of stubbornness, I did a little evaluation of my own life. What are the tendencies that I have to be stubborn? And so remember the examples. They are resisting change, refusing to admit mistakes, ignoring advice, holding grudges, reluctant to try new things. And so I look at my own life and I have a hard time to admit my mistakes. And you know why? Because I feel dumb. I feel embarrassed. I feel like I should know better. But at this stage of my life, I should have known better, whatever the mistake was. And probably it comes from an expectation of myself to be perfect, which is not a great expectation. And so when I'm evaluating that about my own life, then it's like, okay, how does scripture prod me? How's it like a goad? How's it like pricking my heart to say, okay, admitting my mistakes and, you know, even standing here admitting my mistakes to you, it's kind of embarrassing, but you know what on the other side of that is? So much freedom. Because I never want you to put me up on some kind of pedestal that I never make any mistakes as I do. And it also forces me, it prods me into more humility. And that's what I want, and that's what Scripture teaches us, to walk in humility. So I'd encourage you, how would you answer the question, or how would you fill in the statement, I'm stubborn when it comes to the area of what is it for you? And how would God's word prod you into a place of peace and joy? Number four reason to remember your Creator is to be prepared for judgment, for the day of judgment. That's what the very last verse of this book, that's what Solomon said. He said, look, God will judge every deed, hidden or seen. When you hear that, how does that impact you? How do you process that? It's kind of terrifying, isn't it? It is for me. Every person will stand before God and give an account for their life. But I want you to see why it's important not to ignore this. Phil Ryken, who wrote a book about Ecclesiastes, he lays out the argument that this book gives us. And he said, if there's no God, then there is no judge. If there is no judge, then there will be no final judgment. And if there is no final judgment, there is no ultimate meaning to life. So a day of judgment is actually what gives life its meaning. Because how we live our lives day after day, there's weight to it. It matters how you treat people. It matters how you fear God and how you obey His command. And the good news about this is that we do not have to stand before God and give account for our lives by ourselves. When we place our faith in Jesus, He is our Redeemer. What He accomplished on the cross allows us to stand before God with a clear conscience. We don't have to try to persuade God to allow us into heaven. Say nothing, there's nothing I could do on my own to reconcile myself before God. It's only through what Jesus did. Look what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. He says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's the good news. That's the hope. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. And so to prepare you for the day of judgment, it's important to remember our Creator, the one who made a way for us to be reconciled. I remember a few months ago, I had the opportunity to sit in a courtroom with Judge David Workman, who is part of this church, and he's been a county judge for many, many years. And so I got to watch as people would be brought into that courtroom and Judge Workman would ask them questions, you know, here's the law, did you follow the law? And they'd be like, well, no, not really. And maybe try to, you know, dance around that a little. I tried hard, but they didn't. And he said, well, do you know what the punishment is for disobeying this law? And made sure that was clear. And he had to make a decision to enforce the laws that were broken. I was like, man, what a responsibility. And it made me think, one day I'm gonna stand before God, give account for my life, for what I've been entrusted with and what I know. It's sobering, but there's also hope because of Jesus, and it also brings meaning to this life for how we live. Jesus, our advocate, He makes us ready because God's grace is new. His mercies are new every morning. And then finally, reason number five Remember your Creator, because to remember, the reason it's important is to remember that God remembers you. God has an excellent memory, and He will never forget you. You know, He had you on His mind when He spoke creation into existence. The God who made you calls you His workmanship, calls you His masterpiece. He celebrates the gifts and talents that He put inside of you. And I know as humans, it's very easy, it's natural for us to look certain traits of ourselves and wish we were different. And maybe you wish you had a different laugh, or maybe you wish you were taller, or maybe you wish you were shorter, or maybe you wish you were born into a different family. And it's natural to look at the things about us and wish they were changed, but I'm just wanting to remind you today that God created you just the way you are. He made you in His image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. In your mother's womb, He created you, and He knew you, and He has an incredible plan and purpose for your life. And that's why my heart grieves when I know of young people struggling with their gender identity. Because I just think about this, to remember God created you male, He created you female. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't forget, our Savior had you on His mind when He went to the cross, when He came up from the grave, when He ascended to heaven. You were on His mind. When He gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and empower us and to encourage us, it's because you were on His mind. He's been watching over you every day of your life. The highs and lows, that medical diagnosis, and that job promotion, He was with you. The day you got married and the day you buried a loved one, God promises to be with you. Don't forget, He's promised to never leave you. He's promised to never forsake you. And He has promised that He is coming again as the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, hold on to that. I plead with you to hold on. Remember your Creator. Don't ever forget, our Creator remembers you. I'm gonna give just a moment to reflect today. Which of these reasons do you need to implement in your life? Maybe it's to guide life decisions. Maybe it's to live a Christ-centered life. Maybe it's to fear God and keep His commands. Maybe it's to prepare for the day of judgment. Maybe it's to remember that God will never forget you. You know, it's the Spirit of God. I put these messages together, but it's the Spirit of God that brings it alive to you. And so that's why I always like to just give a moment just for you to simply say, Lord, what are You speaking to me through this message? And my encouragement to you is you'd have the courage to follow the promptings in your heart. Maybe the prompting's more like a prodding, like a goad. And so would you just take this moment, reflect. God, thank You for Your word. And I thank You for the people in this church. I thank You for the promise of life. And I pray that we would remember You, not forget. Because that means You created us, You designed us. I pray we would have awareness of Your presence, follow Your instructions, and do good works. Thank You for that, in Jesus' name. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I don't want to close our time before giving you an opportunity. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, Maybe at one point in your life, you came to church and attended, but you really didn't have a personal relationship with Him. And right now, the Spirit of God is prodding, maybe even pricking your heart, that it is time to surrender your life to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my disciple, repent of your sin, turn from your selfish ways, and follow Him. It sounds simple, and it is simple, but it will cost you your life because it's a new direction for your life. It's that awareness that everything that you do matters. And so how are you honoring Jesus with your life? If you're ready to make that decision, I'd also want you to know on the other side of that decision is the greatest level of peace, joy, and purpose that you'll ever experience. And I want you to experience that. And so I'm just going to invite you to repeat this prayer out loud. I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. So would you say this? If you're ready to make that decision, would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead for me. And He ascended to heaven, and He will return again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So today I repent of my sins. Turn from my selfish ways. I surrender my life to Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you know you made that decision right now, I'm gonna invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage in this room. The ushers have a Bible for you that we want you to have. And so would you have the courage just to raise your hand unashamed of this decision till an usher sees you and they'll hand you the Bible? And we also want to celebrate this decision with you. And we want you to take your next step. And so after the service, would you stop by our connections room on either side of the auditorium? And we have a team of people there that would love to talk with you and pray with you and help you on your next steps as a follower of Jesus. I did see a few Bibles go out. Can we thank God for these individuals? It takes a lot of courage to make a decision today, but we're here to walk with you. You might have walked in here and said, man, it seems like everyone knows what's going on except me. And I'm just here to tell you, we're all growing. We are growing in how we're following Jesus. And so we want to help you. That's why I love the local church, because we have people that are just, we grow together. And so would you stop by connections? And then if you did make a decision to follow Jesus, whether it was today or in the past, your next step is to be water baptized. Baptism is that this moment, this physical act. It's for you. It's not for the church. It's for you, where you identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So you get out in the water and come out. It's like a line in the sand. I'm following Jesus, no turning back. So if you'd like to be baptized, you can sign up online, worshipcenter.org/baptism. And there's a class we have that really helps you understand what it is to live with Jesus as your Savior and Lord. So I hope that you can sign up. All right, would you all stand? So good being together today. If you need prayer, we'll have a prayer team down front. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. Don't forget to sign up for a small group. If you have any questions about what it is to be in a small group, talk to someone in blue or find someone in the Connections team. But it's so good being together today. Don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.